magnify him. What a good God, and how worthy of all the praise. Praise God. If you're standing near somebody right now and it's appropriate, just reach over, lay your hand on them or take them by the hand. Let that Holy Ghost just flow out of your vessel. Let it be a river of living water, a well springing up into everlasting life. Let God breathe in this house today. Let the Spirit of God flow. Touch everybody. Touch every house. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language flow up through your vessel today. Let God pray a prayer. Let the prophecy of God come forth. Hallelujah. I don't know about your circumstance, but I know there's a God that never fails. I don't know about your trouble, but I know there's a God that's bigger than all your trouble. Just lose yourself in the presence of God for a little while here today. God will make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. Hey, we magnify you. We bless your name, oh God. Glory, 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 glory. We praise your name. We worship you, oh God. We magnify you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the Lord's house on a rainy, cold morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's clap our hands again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So I have just a little note here about and from the from Brittany and Dustin, and they just want to share the information with their church family and keep them in prayer and continue to lift them. It's a difficult valley and a very strenuous time they've been through, and their faith is strong and they're going to do well and their God is able. But prayer changes things, and prayer lifts up those that have a broken heart. Little Graham was born on Saturday, the first day of December, and he came early due to pregnancy complications. And while he was premature, the physicians expected that he would only need some time in the NICU to gain weight and learn how to eat. But on his fourth day, he became very, very ill. And in spite of many, many tests and consultations, the doctors were not able to figure out what made him sick. But do not think it was related to being premature. Something else was at work. After seven wonderful but hard days with him, he went back into the arms of Jesus. And we appreciate all the love and prayers they are carrying us. And the families awaiting for final details concerning a funeral here. And here we have a little picture. He was a handsome fellow. So we're making deposits on the other side. And we have a lot to look forward to on that great getting up morning. And here's one more reason. So pray for them. Pray for their parents, because they've walked with them through this. And God is good. God is able. God is perfect in all of his ways. He never makes a mistake. He does all things well. And we yield ourselves to his hand. Somebody say praise the Lord. Could we just thank him and worship him for a little here? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God, and we magnify your name. Praise God. I'm thankful for all the prayer and all the worship and the good music and the musicians and the singing and all the wonderful things that go into inviting the presence of God into a place like this. And right now, we're standing and sitting in a heavenly place because he's here and his presence is here. And because of that, the promise is here. And everything, every promise in the book is in this place today. And we have visitors. We're so glad you came to spend some time on a Sunday morning with us. We're so glad that you're in the house today. And we want you to make yourself at home in the presence of God. We also have a first-time visitor here, Brother Joe Rally from Apopka, Florida. We're so glad that he's here. I want him to come. Some of you know him from the Ignite Conference, and he's been there for several years. And recently we had the pleasure of visiting with his church family there in Florida, the outskirts of Orlando. And there is revival in the shadow of Mickey Mouse. And it is one of the most diverse churches that I've seen this side of San Jose, California. And it's a joy to fellowship with them. And we're so glad that he's come. And I want him to just take his liberty, and whatever the Holy Ghost tells him, we want to hear that. Would you extend your hand toward him now and just tell him, preach to me, preacher. Praise God. Brother Rally, we're delighted you're here. Make yourself at home.
Let's give God praise today. Come on, let's give him high praise. He is worthy. Come on, while you're clapping your hands, would you shout unto the Lord today? Come on, would you give the Lord a shout of praise?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody can take it higher than that. Hallelujah. Come on a cold, rainy Sunday morning. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You could be seated just for a moment. I want to say how happy I am to be here. Amen. With New Life. Amen. Pastor, Sister Sutton, Bishop. Amen. The family, the Sutton family, and this wonderful church family. And it is our privilege to be here today. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Amen. Many of you I recognize, amen, from the Ignite Conference retreat that is being held somewhere close to here. I'm not really sure where I'm at right now. I know I'm in somewhere in Birmingham. And anyway, I'm thankful to be here. It's good to see you that are here, and many of the young people that we've worked with and had fun with, and the adults and the choir and all the stuff that goes in to Ignite Conference. And I'm glad to see you today. And I'm rejoicing. I know to most of you, this is becoming the norm, this wonderful facility, this property, but I'm rejoicing in what the Lord is doing, amen, for this church and for this city, amen. And as I walked through the property, the buildings last night, I was rejoicing and giving God thanks for what he is doing, what he's continuing to do, and we're blessed, amen, and this church is blessed. And I'm excited, and just to see what God can do. If you'll just stay the course and let God be God, then all things work out according to his will. Amen. And so this is a wonderful facility, and the presence of God is real and rich, and I'm thankful for the presence of God. And I'm thankful for what God is doing in Birmingham, and I'm trusting that the best is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. And I'm thankful for that. I love your pastor. We've asked him to spend each year, Brother Sister Sutton, with us. We've already asked him to be there in 2019, and he's agreed to that. And so I'm excited about that as well. And he comes, and he's such a blessing to us in our assembly. And we're thankful, amen, for him coming and you allowing him to spend that time with us. And we are enriched by his ministry and just spending time with him and Sister Sutton. And I'm thankful, amen, that they're willing to come and spend that time with us. And so we're blessed every time they come. We're blessed. My favorite service at Ignite is Tuesday morning, whenever the bishop is preaching. Amen. And I might not make any other morning service, but I'm going to make that one. And I'm thankful. Amen for that. And I'm not saying that just because he's sitting here and I'm in this church. I say that wherever I'm at, and our people know that's how I feel. Amen. And we're blessed to have developed this friendship. And I'm thankful to be here today. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. And as he asked me to come, I don't travel. I stay home most of the time. And I don't travel hardly at all. And he asked us to come, and I thought I was going to get out of it for different reasons, and it didn't work out. And I'm here today, and I'm happy that I'm here. And on one hand, and on the other hand, I'm wondering what in the world am I doing here. But anyway, I'm glad I'm here today. And I when he asked me to come, it began just praying, thinking, and asking the Lord to help us, because he is a hero to me as in a lot of ways, and I want to be able to follow after the Holy Ghost and help this assembly today, and I trust God will help us. Amen. And I can only be me, and I trust that that's what you allow to happen today. Just let me preach. Follow after the Holy Ghost, and let's see God do some great things. I believe there's miracles in the house today. Great deliverance. Oh, I said there's great deliverance in the house today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. And I trust that the Lord will help us today. Amen. I want to direct your attention to the word of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 11. And also I'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I know that the Lord will help us today. And I know that God wants to do some incredible things. And as I look across the congregation today, I see a whole lot of young people, and that's exciting to me because I know that the Lord tarries his coming. There's going to be a church, amen, in the earth, and as long as the Lord tarries his coming, and I'm excited about that, and I want to help somebody today if the Lord will help me. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. The writer of Hebrews says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. I want to talk to you just for a little bit today about waiting on God. Or is God waiting on us? Are we waiting on God, or is God waiting on us? Amen. Would you just thank the Lord for his word right now? Jesus, I thank you. Come on, let's thank him. Come on, give him praise right now. Come on, let's thank him for his word. Come on, let's give him some praise. God, we give you praise. Come on, let's thank him. While you're clapping your hand, open your mouth and give the Lord a shout. Lord, we give you praise today, Jesus. We give you praise today, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. You can be seated today in the presence of the Lord. I know that... all of us, somewhere along the way and living for God and doing the work of God, have all asked for God to give us a sign. We want a sign. We want to know. Just give me a sign. If you'll give me a sign, then I'll know. Just give me some type of sign from you, God. I read a story about a young man who was walking, and he was in a downtown area, and he prayed a very simple prayer, and he said, God, if a little white dog walks around the corner of that building, then I will know that you want me to ask Sarah out. He stood there for half an hour, watching in anticipation, wondering if God was going to answer his prayer. He almost gave up half dozen times, but he just could not let himself walk away lest he miss God's answer to his desperate prayer. And so when he was about to leave, after this time, he was leaving disappointed and in this, because he had a desire. He really, really did want to ask Sarah out. He heard in the distance a bark of a small dog. He got excited. His eyes opened wide. And he listened closely and he looked intently at the corner of that building. Just as a small black dog walked around the corner. It threw him. Stay with me just a moment. I want to talk to you if the Lord help me. He's like, did I pray for a black dog or a white one? Did I even mention the color? Maybe God was telling me that I need to date Sarah's friend, who was wearing a black dress the last time I saw her. Or maybe God was telling me I shouldn't date Sarah at all because her heart is black as sin. Or maybe, just maybe, this is it. Maybe the dog is white but had rolled around in some ashes. This young man was totally confused. Now, that's a funny story, and it seems really, really far way out there. But I'm afraid too many of us have asked God for a sign and been just as frantic in our interpretations. How many times do we use all kinds of crazy methods to figure out God's will? Or really asking God to figure it out for us? It's this whole idea. I've been preaching in our assembly about the will of God and the work of God and doing the things of God. And I feel today to just preach to you about this just a little bit when it comes to the will of God. We too many times we're asking and we're looking, and people do all kinds of crazy things to find an answer to the dilemmas of their life. They're looking for God to do something. They're searching for some idea, or if this happens, or if that happens, or if this, whatever the case might be. And I wonder how many times have we found ourselves in situations looking for something that we should not even be looking for at all when it comes to the will of God. Amen. Here's the problem with all of this. Jesus said, a wicked and an adulterous generation, they seek after a sign. They're looking for something. They're wanting something. So it takes away any responsibility that they have to live a life of faith. I want to preach to you today. If you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to accomplish anything for God, then you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're going to accomplish anything for God, you're going to have to make a decision today that living for God is a life of faith. Oh, somebody give the Lord some praise right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm afraid that we live in a culture that does not want to take responsibility of making any kind of decision. Amen. I think that we come to a time where we wanting everything to just be, and nobody wants to take any responsibility. Nobody wants to try anything. But I can tell you today that this assembly is where it is today because there was a man of God that had a vision and had a faith that said, I'm not going to sit back and wait for something to happen, but I'm going to move. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you today that this whole idea of living for God is faith. You must have faith in God. You must be willing to make some decisions and make some the best decisions that you know how to make. And then you say, God, I'm going to trust you in the details. I'm going to trust you to work all things out according to your will. I'm not going to sit here and wait for something to happen. I'm not going to wait for some crazy something to take place. I'm going to get involved in what you're doing right now, right where you are. Because this is your will. I don't have to pray about what your will is when it comes to praising and loving you and worshiping you. I'm just going to get involved in what's going on right now in my life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm afraid that we sometime, amen, come to a place in our life that we don't want to live by faith. Amen. But we must be people of faith. Amen. We must be a people that walks by faith. We must be a people that lives daily by faith. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to live for God to the best of my ability. Amen. But I have some responsibilities and I got to go for them. And while I'm going, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm not just going to sit around and say, God, should I go to work? No, I've got to provide for my family and I live by faith. Should I live? Should I go? No. Too many people's just sitting around waiting for something to happen. What you need to do is get up, square your shoulders and plant your feet and say, I'm going to do whatever I can do right where I'm at. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm afraid that too many people live in this waiting period. Young people, listen to me today. Amen. When you are young, that is not a waiting period. God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. Amen. Well, I'm going to wait for the right job. I'm going to wait for the right spouse. I'm going to wait for God's calling. Amen. I can't do anything because I'm too young. Amen. Amen. But this is the time when you need to be making some decisions about living for God and doing the work of God. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rowley, I'm going to pray and I'm just going to sit here and wait. I'm not telling you not to pray, but I am going to tell you, you need to get busy right where you are right now. It's not time to wait. Amen. Amen. There's a work that needs to be done. I said there's a work needs to be done right where you are. Come on. We need praising. Radical. Come on. We need some people that make their mind up that I'm not going to sit around and wait until I'm 30 to live for God. I'm going to live for God right now. I'm not going to wait on somebody. I'm going to go for it now. Amen, amen, amen. So many times I've seen people that that's in the church and they get sidetracked. And I am thankful for my heritage. I was raised in the church. But listen, I want to help somebody understand today that you cannot sit around and wait. And wait and wait and wait until everything gets perfect in your life or everything works out just right, because life is not perfect. Things are not always going to go perfectly in your life, but living for God is the best decision that you could have ever made. It doesn't matter if your parents are living for God or if you're not, if you're the only person in your life living for God. You make a decision today that I'm going to do this. Amen. This whole idea of waiting, this is we think that it might be grounded in faith because I'm waiting on God, but it really comes out of fear. We're so afraid that we will do something God doesn't want us to do, and we begin to become very fearful and faithless, and there's no way. I'm going to tell you today, there is no risk-free decisions. When you make a decision, there's a risk. And so what happens is we try to shift all of the responsibility. We want to shift all the responsibility to God. We want to shift all the responsibility to our parents. We want to shift all the responsibility to our pastor. We want to ask him, and here's the problem with that. I'm not God. I can't work it out. Only God can work it out. Amen. We're waiting, and we say things like, well, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. I want him to remove from me the decision, all of the uncertainty. You're going to never live in a place, a life of faith. A life of faith is something that says, come what may, I'm going to live for God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know how all of this is going to work out. Amen. See, what happens is this whole idea of I'm just waiting on God to move lulls us into the belief that these years, these times where we are right now, is years that I don't know that if they're really important or not. I can tell you today that where you are is the most important years of your life. Habits. Personalities are being formed right where you are, young person. Amen. How to function in a relationship is right where you are as a young person today. The workplace. Amen. It is something that is going on today. If we're not careful, it shifts the responsibility from us to God. And we say, God, I'm just waiting on you. You work all of these things out. But what we need to do, amen, is that we need to take responsibility of where we are at right now. I've never seen a culture that gets so bored so easily. People waste hours on video games. fooling around with all kinds of things. Social media becomes such a trap to so many things. Amen. That's the reason that we live in a generation that the 30 is the new 20. Why? Because we don't want to focus on serious things. We want to delay adulthood. I'm preaching to somebody here today. You got to make a decision that wherever I'm at in my life, I'm going to take some responsibility and I'm going to live for God today. Nobody's going to have to make me live for God, but I'm going to live for God because I love Him. Amen, amen, amen. It's a cultural problem. People just don't want to feel any responsibility of what's going on. But I'm going to tell you this morning that we must be people of faith. We must be people of faith. Faith is action. We can't just sit around and wait for everything to work out. We need people that catch on fire for God. We need people that make decisions that says, I don't care what everybody else is doing in the youth group. I don't care what everybody else is doing in the young married couples. I don't care what everybody else is doing in the seasoned saints group. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get busy doing the work of God. There's a lost world that needs saved. There's miracles that need to be experienced. There's deliverances that need to be had. And I'm going to get involved right where I'm at. Oh, somebody ought to praise the Lord in this house right now. Come on, we're not just treading water today, but we're on a path. We're going somewhere. We're going to live for God. We're going to make a difference in our world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Amen. Amen. We got to get busy in doing the work of God right now. Amen. Amen. It's easy to just sit back and wait. So I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. What are we waiting on? There's no greater time than right now to do the work of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Amen. Knowing that we have but an allotted amount of time. The days are evil. He said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, we don't need a bored generation. We don't need a bored church. But what we need a church is to be filled with the Spirit. I said we need a church that is filled with the Spirit. Come on, we need some people that'll speak to themselves. We need some people that'll sing the praises of God. Look what the Lord has done. We ought to be the happiest people in all the world. Come on, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, don't become just a Pentecostal in name. Get excited about living for God. This is. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I think that we need to embrace the attitude that right now is as important as the future. Right now is as important as it's going to get. I'm not living for tomorrow. I'm living for today. Look what the Lord is doing today. Come on, I said, look what the Lord is doing right now. But you don't know. You don't know, Brother Rowley. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the trouble that I'm in right now. Let me just tell you, God is good in spite of the trouble. Live for today. Come on. The will of God is revealed to you in everyday decisions and moments. See, the will of God is revealed. It's just doing the will of God. And whenever we do the will of God, we make right decisions. We make good choices in daily matters. The will of God just keeps opening up. Keeps working. Keeps doing what we're supposed to do. It just happens. It's in daily things. What about the future? What about right now? You got to make decisions now. Let me just tell you just a moment about my situation. Living for God. Living for God is incredible. I made a decision at an early age that I was going to do something for God. I don't know if it's right or wrong or whatever, but this is the way it worked for me. God opened the door, and I was in full-time ministry before I was 20 years old. I didn't know a whole lot, and the longer I live, the less I know. But especially with teenage kids, it's getting worse. Amen. But here's the thing that I'll say to you, that you need to make a decision today that I'm going to live for God today. I'm not going to play around. I'm not going to make bad decisions. Now, I'm not telling you I was perfect, young men, but I am telling you that I made a decision that I'm going to live for God. All the other kids might be sneaking around and might be doing stuff and listening to stuff they shouldn't listen to and going places. But I'm not going to do that, because right now is going to determine where I go. And I'm not telling you that you can't make some mistakes and God still use you. But it's a much better decision that you make a decision today that I'm going to keep myself unspotted from the world, young person. And I'm not going to go the way of the world. And I'm not going to think like the world thinks. Let them laugh at me if they want to, but I'm going to be the first one to the prayer room. I'm going to be the first one that's involved in praise and worship. Pastor, you're not going to have to tell me that I can or I can't. I'm just going to live for God because I love God. Amen. Amen. It was this whole idea that I just, you're going to do it. And God, it was my story. Amen. I have now pastored almost 20 years in one location, and I feel like that I got a lot of good years left in me. Amen. And I know to some of you I'm older than dirt, but I'm really not that old. Amen. But here's the thing that I'm saying to somebody today. You got to make some decisions right now. How many young people do I know that is playing this waiting game? Instead of just jumping in with both feet, they're just sitting around the church, just sitting around being bored, waiting for some kind of sign to come from God to do something when there's so much that needs to be done right now. There's a work. Oh, hallelujah. I feel such a burden because I see young people that the world is making a play for them and making them feel that there's something out there that's better and something greater. But I can tell you, there is nothing that can compare to what the Holy Ghost can do in your life. Get all the degrees you can get. Get all of the degrees you can get. But do not lose your relationship with God. Whatever you do, wherever you go, make a decision that whatever degree, whatever letters is behind my name, Jesus is the greatest thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. See, it's we want to know the end from the beginning. When we only God knows the end from the beginning. When it comes to the will of God, the most important thing you do is the next step. Just step. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your. Well, I just don't know what to do with my life. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You just need to take a step and say, God, wherever you lead me, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm worshiping. I'm telling you, God is waiting. There's many things that God wants to do. Thank God for all the good things that He's doing in this assembly. But there's greater things to be done. And it's not coming from it's God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you. God's been dealing with your heart. God's been calling you. You got to step up. You got to make a decision that I'm going to do what God is calling me to do right now. Oh, hallelujah. Would you pray with me right now? Lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, let's worship. Come on, let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody worship and pray with me right now. Oh, God, I pray the Holy Ghost would settle in this place. Come on, somebody pray with me right now. Come on, that's it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Woo. Come on, that's it. Pray with me just a moment. God is calling some people today. Come on. Come on, God is calling some people today. Come on, God is reaching for some people today. Come on, not everybody in this house is going to be a pastor, a missionary. Not everybody in this house is going to do what we call public ministry. But there's ministry for everybody in this house. There's a work for everybody to do. If somebody would just say, God, I'm tired of sitting around waiting. I'm going to get involved right where I'm at. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're coming to the music. I'm closing quickly. Amen. Holy Ghost. There's a pull. There's a pull. There's a draw to just sit down and just wait things out. It's the danger of a generational church where we get comfortable and at ease and just going through the motion. I've pastored long enough now that we're raising up another generation of people that's, and I don't know, what should I do and where should I go and what should be, and just sit in this, and they're being bombarded and they're just wasting away whenever there's so much that needs to be done. Jesus, his last sermon that he preached, said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Somewhere in all of this, we got to take seriously this whole idea of being his witness. Doing his bidding, doing his work. We need to be busy doing what he has called us to do right now. I'm not waiting, but I'm doing what I can right now. And God will order my steps. He'll take me where I'm supposed to go, and he'll do what I'm supposed to do if I'll just involve myself right where I'm at. Right now, I can tell you the bishop Pastor, there's so much that needs to be done. There's so much that needs to be done. God is wanting to do so many incredible things. I had a young man, he told me that. He said, I'm gonna be a missionary. And I want to do this, and I want to go. I have a call to God to do. And I looked at him and I said, how can you do that when that ethnic group of people is in our city and you haven't brought one of them to church? If you have a burden for this field of missions, then go find somebody that's in this city and teach them a Bible study in their language. Well, I want to go. I want to see thousands. Start with one in this city that needs, because we live in a melting pot. In our assembly of about 150 people, we have 16 different nationalities represented. Our city is a melting pot of the world, and you have a burden to do something. Find it in this city. I want to do something great for God. Start where you are. Start with your neighbor. Start with your coworker. Start somewhere, because we need missionaries in Birmingham. We need evangelists in Birmingham. Come on, there's an ethnic group that needs the gospel preached to them right here in this city. I'm waiting. No. You need to get busy right now. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, get started now. Get started now. Come on, I haven't come just to preach a message today, but the Holy Ghost is calling some people. The Spirit of the Lord is calling some people to get started now. There's a work that needs to be done. There's a work that must be done. Lord, I agree. Come on, somebody make a decision today. I'm going to get started now. 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 Come on, thank God for what everybody else is doing. But I want to get started doing the work of God now.
Lord, I agree. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you call me to be. That's what I. To your will and to your way. I'll Call me to be.